And plus, you don't want it to look like the bowls that you commonly eat out of, or you might end up absentmindedly washing it and putting it back in the cabinet.
Oh, I thought you might absentmindedly put your wallet and keys in a bowl of soup.
I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
I'm Kevin.
It's time for another episode of Video Games Hot Dog. You guys, I got some good news. I became king of the dentist.
Oh.
I went to the dentist, and he examined me, and he made an appointment for me to come back and get my crown.
Your crown, okay.
Does this mean we have to start calling you Sir Zach?
Yes, Sir Zach, king of the dentist. And you have to say all of it every time, or I'm going to cut your heads off with my drill.
Well, I want to go to the I want to go to the butcher so I can become Sir Kevin, king of the loin.
Of the roast.
That king of the dentist joke was brought to you by Chris Moyer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Man, remember when Chris Moyer was on Video Games Hot Dog?
Yes. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Vaguely, yeah.
It was almost a year ago. He talked about the Infinity Depleters. Oh, man.
What you been up to besides getting fitted for your tooth crown?
Just working and playing video games and going to the dentist and not drinking. And that's
it.
And
life is boring for you.
It is. It's boring as fuck. There's no reason to go anywhere or do anything, and it is impossible to enjoy anything.
Wow. That's really sad for you.
What about you, Riff?
Nothing.
It is also impossible for you to enjoy anything, and there's no reason for you to go anywhere.
I had to change the blog over to WordPress because Posterous is shutting down. So that was...
Is it not Posterous?
I don't know. I've never heard anyone say it.
Yeah, we never talk about these things.
Thought it was Posterous.
Posterous.
Wow, I forgot. I asked for backups, and they said, we'll email you when this is ready, and then they never emailed me.
They have to do it, like, manually?
I think it's just a thing. You queue it up, and I think it's to stop.
It takes a while, depending on how.
It's to stop people from initiating the process over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, so that's weird. They got bought by somebody, and then...
Yeah, Twitter bought them, and I guess...
Twitter bought them. That's a good name
Twitter
for...
PB Twitter bought them.
You should add that to the list of NPC names.
BM O'Harris, the shittinest Irishman. I don't know if O'Hara... Is O'Harris a real
probably
Irish name?
Not.
Yeah. Because that means, like, from somewhere, right? Like, like O'Sullivan means of Sullivan. It's probably not.
Isn't that just, like, son of?
Patty O'Clock. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Zach of Johnson. Zach O. Johnson. Anyway, some Irishman scholar will undoubtedly correct us.
Hmm.
We went to the grocery store, and Riff got some sort of special extreme deodorant. What is the new flavor?
It wasn't that extreme. I normally buy Old Spice, what's it called? Arctic Blast or Iceberg or something, but they didn't have that, so I had to get a... I wish I'd known that you were going to ask me this, because I would have written down the actual names, because they're kind of funny anyway. It was like Nightlife or... After Hours, that's what the name of it
right.
was.
Right, After Hours deodorant.
After Hours.
Which is, I mean, you're mostly awake at night, so yeah. This is an appropriate deodorant for you.
It smells like Old Spice plus mango, which is kind of weird.
Mango.
Yeah, kind of got that orangey, mango-y kind of smell.
Mango, the first mango I ever had was seriously underripe, and to me, underripe mango tastes a lot like biting into a pine tree. So I always just assumed that mangoes were like nasty fruits until I finally had one that was like, you know, well aged. And
I think my only knowledge of mango flavor is like mango flavored candy or like chunks of dried mango. I don't think I've ever eaten the actual fruit.
Really?
I think of it as being hard. To eat a mango, like
it is
either they're
hard.
Never ripe, they never sell them anywhere.
They're because it's like, and like you can't quite ever get all the flesh off the middle thing. It's like it's like it hangs onto it too tight.
That's the same problem I have with dissecting children. You can never get all the flesh off the middle thing. I don't know. There might be some thing. Video Games Hot Dog listeners who have not heard this story that I've told a thousand times on other podcasts. But my grandmother, I grew up having my grandmother refer to green bell peppers as mangoes. Right.
I thought you were going to tell a story about your grandmother defleshing children.
Well, that too. Those who opposed me. That's how I ascended to this power. King of the dentist. My grandmother will remove the flesh from any child who dares speak against me. No, she called, and I eventually tracked down why this was, and it was because at some point in the late 1800s there was this variety of bell pepper grown that was sweeter than normal bell peppers, which was referred to as mango peppers, and so then that's the variety they liked around them parts, and so that's just what they called them. And when I moved to civilization and started seeing like mango flavored sodas, I was like, what the fuck? That is the grossest thing I can imagine. But no, it turns out it's weird Mexican soda.
You can get
soda.
Celery flavored soda, which sounds like a terrible idea.
I can imagine it like a part of the country that like the kinds of apples that they like are Granny Smiths. And so they're like, yeah, I was eating my granny the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When they say they're listening to the Smiths, what they mean is they're just listening to their grandmother's bite into apples.
Right.
Oh, that sounds horrible. I have a thing about raw apples that, I don't know, I don't like the texture. I don't like hearing someone eating a raw apple.
I eat one almost every day with lunch. Do you, are you,
I'm,
is that
I guess
why
I'm
you,
just far enough away that I don't hear it. Yeah.
With toilet paper in your ears?
So you've got some sort of
makes my spine itch.
Misophonia
like it.
That's related only to eating apples.
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
I have a thing about raw apples, and it's that I fucking love them, and I eat one almost every day.
Thinking about the sensation of dragging my teeth against the inside of the apple peel as you bite into it,
it's like fingernails on a chalkboard.
Yeah,
you could
exactly.
Peel the apples, Riff, if you wanted to.
And then but then you'd have to drag a knife across it over and over and over and over and over again.
I love Michael Pollan's like story about how apples come to be, like the fact that all apple varieties that we have today were originally just like a tree grown from a seed, and then we've just been cloning that tree forever. Mm.
Whenever there happened to be a good one, because apples work in that way where they don't share characteristics with their parent organism, so that like the way that the fruit manifests is just totally random whenever you plant an apple seed.
Yeah.
Also, Johnny Appleseed
most
was primarily making
super
booze.
Gross.
But seriously, like he would go ahead of civilization, plant orchards, and because if you plant apple seeds, you generally just end up with shitty sour apples that nobody wants to eat, but you can still make booze out of them.
Mm. Yeah, apples used to be primarily for applejack for making booze. It has only been in the past 100 and some years that they've become a fruit that you eat.
And it's like somebody discovered, ooh, here's a tasty one, and then they just kept grafting it. And
And then the Red Delicious was like the big one for so long because it was one of the few apples that like kept long time. It's not that like it tasted great, but it like preserved well in stores.
How did they end up with all these different varieties? Did just every now and then somebody would gamble and plant a new one and see if they got something
or
new?
They would plant a billion of them in a huge
orchard,
grid.
Yeah,
like and
it was.
Just
it's a
hope
huge,
to get lucky, hope to win the lottery.
It's like you like get millions of dollars if you happen to get an apple tree that like produces a new, really good variety of apple. So people would do it, sort of playing the lottery. It's like an awesome story. It's like really, really neat.
Yeah.
This is such a fascinating topic. We should start another podcast that's just apples hot dog.
apple
that sounds
hot
pretty
dogs.
Good too.
Yeah. Have either of you guys watched any Downton Abbey?
Nope.
I watched the first season and I think a couple of the second season, but we fell out of the habit of watching it before finishing the second season.
Okay. I saw one episode by accident once.
It's really
pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
It's very like soap opera-y in its like construction, but the acting and the script and the story are all really, really good, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody speaking in British accents makes it better.
Yeah.
It just seems smarter, you know?
And it's enough of a different environment and different time that it's much more exotic and interesting than a regular soap opera would be.
Yeah.
So this is from, like, this takes place, like, back when the Smiths were still together.
Right. Yeah, Granny Smith.
They used to be Granny and the Smiths, but then he changed his name to Morrissey.
So that's
what you are you asking? Because that's what you've been up to, Kevin, is watching Downton Abbey.
I have been watching Downton Abbey. It's been a little frustrating because Melissa bought several seasons of it on iTunes, and she opted, I guess, to get the HD versions of it, which, for whatever reason, either our TV or our the cable connecting her computer to the TV doesn't have some HDCP like content protection thing going on, so it just won't play on the TV. Like, we can play them on the on the laptop screen, which is what we've been doing, but like I can sort of understand not wanting to, like, there used to be a thing in like VCRs where if you didn't plug your VCR into something that had a Macrovision chip, it would be all distorted. And the idea, I think, was to protect something from just being like copied or something. It was like a copy protection kind of thing.
And it won't even let you get around it by, like, I don't know, just plugging the TV in as a monitor and mirroring your desktop or
that's
something.
That's how it is plugged in. Yeah, it's
weird.
Yeah.
HDMI, like, the HDMI format has some kind of
content,
some kind of DRM built into it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, but like, I can sort of understand it if it was like from the original source of a Blu-ray, but the fact that it's digital downloaded data that we could just copy and put on other machines anyway, like, it's just so frustrating to deal with. Like, you know,
maybe what you need is a big Terry Gilliam style rectangular lens to park in front of the laptop screen.
Oh yeah,
on like an articulated arm that comes out from the wall.
Yeah.
Actually, now that you say that, I kind of want to make one of those for my iPhone, because that would make a lot more sense to have a giant like Fresnel lens in front of like a tiny iPhone screen that was like turned it into a big.
And you run the wrong app and it just sets you on fire.
Yeah, do not use the flashlight while it's in the dock.
Right.
Well, what about video games? Riff, have you been playing any video games?
Yeah, I played a few, actually. Well, naturally, I played a bunch of Minecraft.
Why is that naturally?
Well, just because that's one of my default behaviors.
Okay.
I made a really sweet, creepy graveyard. I posted some pictures of it on Minimum Safe.
On our multiplayer server?
No, actually, on the multiplayer server. And also not on the multiplayer server. I've been screwing around a lot with the new update to Mistcraft.
What do you make a graveyard out of?
I used the new stone walls to sort of surround it, and the graves are single blocks of smooth stone.
Squares?
Yeah, they're
Nobody
basically
has
just
square
squares.
Tombstones.
I made a couple of like big elaborate cross shaped tombstones out of cobblestone stairways in different orientations. It's kind of hard to describe. You'll have to go and
did you hack zombie spawners into each of the open graves?
No, because it's kind of near to my town, so I didn't want to deal with that.
Pussy.
But yeah, those pictures are up on minimumsafedistance.org, which should be now reachable since I've moved it all over to WordPress. Hopefully that all works.
You should dig a couple open graves and then dump some villagers into them.
I do have one open grave. I tried for a little bit to get a skull off of one of the wither skeletons, but they didn't want to drop, and the only fortress that is convenient to me where I could possibly get some is pretty well lit up, so they don't spawn in there very frequently. So I got bored of that after a while.
That must be a thing that's been added since I ever played.
Yeah, there. I think it was the previous patch added the withers and wither skeletons. If you get three of the wither skeleton skulls, you can use them to build a wither boss, which is a very difficult creature that you can kill to get a device that you can use to build a super elaborate beacon that just gives you beneficial potion effects within a certain range.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's interesting. But let's see, other things I played. I played a cool iPad game called Help Volte, which is a sort of it's a sort of steampunk puzzle game. But you you encounter this guy sitting on this street, and he looks kind of like a cross between a hobo and a wizard, and he's got a wooden box and a brass token that's sitting on this leather bag in front of the box. You put the brass token in the coin slot on the front of the box, and the box opens to reveal this this beetle that has this electric device strapped to its back, so that if you push the button on the beetle's back, it sends out like an electrical charge, and the beetle will follow your finger as you drag around the screen. And you're basically getting the beetle to push objects, or you're electrifying him on top of circuit panels and things to solve a puzzle that opens a door to release the beetle into the next layer of the box. And every time you do that, the hobo wizard gives you a different kind of brass coin to put in the coin slot to open it up, box up further.
Two-dimensional Sokoban kind of stuff?
It's more elaborate than that. It's got a little bit of Sokoban, but also a little bit of, keep your bug away from the evil bug and that kind of thing.
So kind of like that mouse game?
I don't know what...
What was that mouse game about that you played a shitload of, Kevin?
Spy Mouse.
It's not... I didn't play Spy Mouse, but I don't think it's like that.
Is it like Transformice?
Is it? Here's a question: Why is it iPad only? Why did they not come out with like a?
Probably just because of needing the screen real estate. On the smaller screen, I don't think there would be enough room to really see what's going on in the box. But yeah, it's pretty short. I believe there's like 14 or 18 or probably 16 levels.
You know who can tell you what's going on in the box is Brad Pitt. He found out. Yeah.
But yeah, it's really charming. It's very steampunky. It looks great. Puzzles aren't real difficult. They got a little trickier towards the end, but it's a quick play, and it's pretty charming. I also played the first chapter of a PSP, and I guess you can probably play it on PS3. It's a PlayStation Network game called Corpse Party Books of Blood. Yeah, great title. It's a visual novel, sort of like 999 or Virtue's Last Stand, except the interactive bits aren't nearly as intricate as in that game. But the plot concerns this group of high school students who, at the end of a party, did a little sort of faux occult ritual to celebrate. Very nice. Zach has put a fake mustache on his pop screen. they do this little, light as a feather, stiff as a board sort of kids occult a ritual to celebrate their friend leaving, who is transferring to a different school. And one of the kids, when they come up with this idea, says like, "Oh God, don't do this. You guys, we're all going to die. I've lived through this before. And we all die if you do this," but they don't listen to him and they do it anyway. And they get transported to this sort of evil Silent Hill sort of, different school that is full of ghosts and terrible things.
Do they still have to go to class and stuff, or is it like
it's
just shaped like a school, but it's actually like a hell maze?
It's like a very old abandoned school which has become a hell maze because it's full of ghosts and shit, and it's got a lot of gore. It's pretty gruesome. It's not for the faint of heart. It's reasonably well written. There are some really genuinely disturbing moments.
What is the titular Book of Blood, and what can you do with it?
I don't know. I haven't encountered any actual Book of Blood. It might be a reference to... This is the second game in the series. I haven't played the first one. So it might be a reference to that. Or it might just be every chapter concerns a different student. So it might be that, you know, it's sort of a collection of short stories.
Oh, is there a character named Blood and the game is the book of his tales?
Not so far as I know.
Do you get to name the character, and were you supposed to name him Blood?
Oh, you don't get to name the character.
Oh, so, man, wouldn't it be awesome if there was a puzzle that you had to solve by bleeding on your phone screen?
That doesn't sound good for the PSP. Yeah, I don't
know. Oh, it's a PSP.
Yeah, PSP game.
There's that port in the back where you can just plug it directly into an IV, right?
Yeah, maybe it's a game that you can get it on a insulin monitor.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a game that you were playing on one of those disposable insulin devices.
Boy. But yeah, so if
That'd
you're...
be great. You gamify having diabetes.
I'd be worried about people trying to deliberately give themselves diabetes so that they can play this excellent game.
Well, it seems great. I mean, as a guy who manufactures insulin monitors, I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
Fully support this idea. If you're into horror and you don't mind some gore and some basically horrific scenes,
when I hear Corpse Party, I think whimsy. I think
it is not whimsical. The first chapter has two characters in it, your main character and the main character of that chapter and her best friend. And the basic plot of that arc is the main character remembering that at some point in this story, the other character is going to hang herself, and she's trying to stop that from happening. But the quote-unquote good ending of this chapter is managing to stop her hanging herself, but she dies anyway in an even more gruesome way.
Jeez.
Yeah. Corpse Party.
Whee! What's the party? Like, whee! Is there a party ever?
I guess there's the kind of the party like that sets up the story at the beginning, but...
So this is a game called Corpse Party, Book of Blood, and there is no party, nor is there a Book of Blood.
There's no book, but there's a lot of blood.
Okay.
So that's a thing. It's, like I said, the interactive bits aren't great shakes. You have a map, and every scene and every location in the map is just a large image that you drag a crosshair around, and when it's blue, you can click to get a description of whatever you're hovering over, and you find key items and use them to unlock door items, and eventually you get onto the next very long bit of reading. But it's a good story if you're up for reading a story in that format. I'm not super into horror, so I'm not sure if I'm going to finish it. I may try and force myself to finish it just to expose myself to more horror stuff. I kind of want to write some horror myself. But
as soon as you've watched enough horror movies to steal ideas from.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, that's what authorship is these days. All the ideas have already been taken. So anything new you make is just remixing.
Oh, everything is a remix.
Ideas.
I see.
Exactly.
All right. Well, good luck with your novel career, Cory Doctorow. No, should I say Scary Doctorow?
Oh, Gory Doctorow.
Oh, that's much better. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Let's see. And there was a third thing. What was the third thing? Oh, there is a Kickstarter for the third act in the Longest Journeys / Dreamfall / Longest Journeys series.
Which Dreamfall, the longest colon.
Yeah. But I pledged that Kickstarter because I had always heard that Longest Journeys was a really well-regarded pedigree in point-and-click adventure games, and both of the first two were on GOG pretty cheap, so I started playing the first one. It seems pretty good. It seems...
Is there a puzzle early on in that game where you have to put, like, a teddy bear with a gun and a police hat in a particular configuration so that it will cast a shadow that looks like a policeman?
If there is, I haven't gotten to it yet. I'm not super far into it. At the moment, at least the bit I'm in is set in a sort of industrial future version of Venice, and the only otherwise fantastical scene I've seen is has been a dream that the main character had. So I imagine that eventually she ends up in that dream world and there's more of the fantasy stuff, but at the moment it's just, it's pretty normal interacting with her college buddies and wandering around this town. It's really well written, at least, well, the bit in the fantasy bit was really overwrought, eye-rolling sort of fantasy dialogue. And so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to take that seriously when more of that happens. But the stuff that's been happening to Venice or in Venice is all got pretty good writing. You can, and the characters are really well developed. You can go and talk to a character, just ask them questions about themselves and how they feel about Venice, and get a lot of
how they feel fairly about Venice.
About Venice, Italy. Ah. It's well written and doesn't really seem to have any direct connection to the plot. It's just fleshing out these characters, and it's quite good so far.
All right, so I have discovered that it is in fact The Longest Journey by this forum post from 2004 by Frobro, who says, I put the hat on the garbage to make the shadow scary, but when the guy comes outside to put the fire out, he doesn't notice the shadow. What am I doing wrong? So yeah, maybe it's not a teddy bear, but some garbage. That always confuses me, and that's why children do not like me.
Because of adventure game puzzles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it that or the fact that you flay them alive?
Well, I try. It's really hard.
I see.
Well, it's hard to comprehend. No, well, no, flaying is getting the skin off of a thing.
Right.
That's that I got down. No. I got
yeah,
down
well,
pat.
Okay, so it's just getting... Okay, so the flaying... Well, but you do flay them, and then you have a really hard time getting the flesh off of the middle bit.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
What about you, Kevin? What have you been playing in terms of video games?
Well, before I jump into the video games, Riff mentioned the Kickstarter, and I haven't been paying as much attention to Kickstarter lately. But I wanted to plug the a thing that I'm excited about, which is an interactive puzzle novel. It's called The Maze of Games.
Yeah, I pledged that too. Did you get the expensive leather-bound copy?
I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'm sort of waffling on what I want. It's a little more expensive than I normally... Like, yeah. It's a little more money than I normally would like to do for this kind of thing, but...
I pimped for the deluxe edition just because, I don't know, it's probably more money than I wanted to spend, but it sounded like a really interesting artifact, and I'm really into that sort of thing.
Right. I think... If you're into puzzle games, you should at least check it out. If not, back it.
How long was this Kickstarter? I feel like I found out about this a month ago and
45, 50 days. It might have been the full 60-day thing. Huh. I don't know. It's got several weeks to go, and they're well funded. I've been seeing a lot more 60-day Kickstarters. I think people are afraid of the 30-day time limit. Even though, like, Kickstarter itself says you don't tend to make more money. I think, you know, the chance that you might get picked up by a news outlet. Plus, it also gives you an extra 30 days to finish whatever it is you're making. You know, like...
Yeah, I mean, I guess worst case is it funds early. You know, now that Kickstarter is just... a thing that you look at every once in a while. I mean, it's just kind of become the fabric of things that you might decide to support rather than this is a new thing that I'm excited about that I'm going to look at every week or whatever.
Right.
Maybe it's,
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting to see how that landscape has evolved. I'm curious, I haven't seen as much news about interesting Kickstarter stuff as I did 6 months ago, a year ago, maybe. So there was definitely this giant peak of interest right around the time that Double Fine did their Kickstarter, and I feel like it's sort of slowed down a little bit, but mm-hmm. Who knows?
Part of it is also like I get linked to a bunch of Kickstarters because of things that like webcomics guys are doing.
Right,
and
sure.
that whole webcomics community is, I mean, all these guys know
very
each other and
yeah.
and all, yeah, pimp each other's stuff.
And because they are webcomics artists, they all need a lot of money.
Yeah.
have you seen the staff page for Kickstarter? It's kind of awesome.
Mm-mm.
It's a video loop. It's like it's a long panoramic video shot that you can scroll back and forth on, and it's just sort of looping backwards and forwards with a bunch of people sort of sitting and talking with each other and that kind of thing. But it's like the whole staff of 40 people, but you only ever see like 8 or 10 of them on the screen at the time, and you can scroll back and forth and watch the like them sort of move around and talk and stuff like that. It's pretty slick looking, and just sort of a neat little artifact of modern web design. I wonder if you showed the internet of today to somebody, you know, 10 years ago, what they would think. Like, would it seem like it was super amazing, or would it seem just
baffling?
Like, yeah, like I'm curious what
You're curious how much perspective you've lost by having paid attention to it for the entirety of that 10 years?
Yes. Exactly.
I mean, what are the real differences? Like,
things look slicker than they used to. I mean, like the World Wide Web back in the 90s was god awful, right?
Well,
like,
it didn't have to be. It was.
It was.
But there was some stuff that looked nice.
Not much. Like, I can't think of anything back in 94 that, like, didn't look like a terrible collection of links, you know, like...
On a gray background instead of... When everything started defaulting to a white background, that was a good watershed moment.
Right, yeah. I mean, Google's like, big deal was the fact that their page was just a search form and, like, a, you know, search or I'm feeling lucky, and that was, like, that was it compared to... all the like web portal / search engines that had come before.
You know what would not impress anybody, or what maybe would impress somebody, is that not only is Zombo.com still around in 2013, but that it is exactly the same as it has been for all of those years.
And also the fact that that one page has created, has given them enough money to live comfortably on a small island south of France. That's not true at all.
So they would be surprised by that lie that you just told, because 10 years ago you were an honest man, Kevin.
That's also not true. So the games that I've been playing this past week, I've mostly been looking for like little iOS type games to play when I'm like laying in bed before I go to sleep or sitting on the toilet or whatever. So I've been looking at the list of top free apps, which is something that I do, you know, once or twice a year, and downloaded a couple of the top ones. And I'll review them in order from best to worst. So the best one that I played was Lazors, Lazors. it's like a puzzle game with little light beams that you have to reflect around to sort of cover various different locations on the map. It starts off relatively easy, and then there are some really quite difficult puzzles in the collection. There's quite a few of them.
Do you end up having to like color mix the beams or something like that?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't ever get that complicated. It's all just bouncing beams around. But there's occasionally like prisms that split the beam into two. But it's just tricky. It's well done with a very limited set of mechanics. I feel like there's a lot of room for them to make more puzzles if they want. And it's
Riff, turn
free.
Off the sound on your goddamn phone
I
and then leave
did.
It off forever.
I just did. No.
What is the matter with you?
I like the clicky noise.
For what it's worth, I didn't hear anything. It's not that it's being recorded. Does his keyboard make tappy noises?
Yes,
it does.
That
because
that's crazy.
So really, when we say granny, what we mean is Riff.
I like the extra audio feedback using a virtual keyboard.
The Smiths, but.
Wow, I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense to me. All right, then a game that I never played that was in the public consciousness, so I felt like I should at least give it a try, was Temple Run. I don't know if either of you guys have played that.
I played Temple Run 2
when it
came out and
was
free.
I played a little bit of it back in the
It's still Temple Run 2 is also is still free. Temple Run was free as well. It is.
I think it didn't used to be. It was weird when they released one that was themed with Disney's or Pixar's Brave. That it was like, oh, this is Temple Run only free, so you should get it.
Huh. So the first game of this style that I played was One Epic Night, which was themed around the Tiny Heroes, like that little game that was pretty cool. And I really like One Epic Night. I like the control scheme. I like their progression. Like it's a pretty solid, I don't know what you call this style of game, like
an endless runner.
Endless runner. Mm-hmm. But aren't there even multiple variants of that? Because I feel like Cannibalt is also an endless runner.
Yeah, I mean, like you've got the behind 2D. The back ones, and you've got the 2D from the side ones.
Yeah, like, and I've seen a variety of other games that are of this ilk. But I feel like Temple Run was a relatively early one, so it's, you know, it's sort of like I'm going back and playing one of the more classic ones, and I really don't like it. I don't like having to tilt the phone from side to side to collect gems in different lanes. And I think that's largely due to the fact that One Epic Night has three distinct lanes and you just swipe to change lanes from side to side. So it doesn't matter what orientation you're holding the phone in. You can be like laying in bed. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like...
Any tilt controls are complete horseshit and I hate them and I wish everyone would stop doing them all the time.
It's, I mean, there are
I've seen
games
a couple
built
good
around
tilt
it.
Control games. Yeah. If the game is built
like
as
what?
A tilt control game.
I bet you can't name it.
Dr. Awesome?
I've got one here.
Dr. Awesome was a good tilt. Like the whole game is built around tilt control. And
what
that was
Dr.
Fun.
Awesome? Was that the one where you had the diseases in the grid and you had to...
No, it's you're a microsurgeon and you're excising viruses from cells and you tilt, like you start off as a little thing on a cell wall and you can cut off sections of cells. Like it's a game that I've seen on the PC before, but like the tilt controls are a pretty natural way of approaching
it.
I think that is
the one that I'm thinking of.
There's no grid though. I don't know.
There's one called Tilt to Live.
I didn't
that is
mean
pretty
grid.
Good.
Oh, okay.
I meant like a dude. Insides. She's from dividing these children neatly into grids.
Sure. Fair enough. So the tilt controls I find kind of rough, and like the graphics kind of like there are times when I die and I don't know why. Mostly because there's like three different sort of like tile sets, I guess, for when you're running along. There's like the standard one, which is like the sort of like wall with the crenellated sides, and then there's like a wooden sort of dock kind of thing, and then there's like this crumbling like stone wall slash path thing, and that one is kind of baffling to me because it's unclear. Like I've died just running along that thing a couple times and I have no idea why. Like it's not like I fell in a hole or hit anything. I feel like I just fell off the side and I don't know why, and I feel like that's a failure of the graphics to explain what the fuck is going on rather than, you know, like a mechanical failure or whatever. So that's been interesting to see sort of like an earlier version of this that is, you know, it was very, very popular. Like a bunch of people played it. Like I had heard about it in some weird pop culture reference and I was like, really? Like why? Like that must be have enough of the sort of like zeitgeist that people are playing this.
Like they were talking about it on Downton Abbey.
Yeah. Right. Like, but it does have that thing that I also really liked out of One Epic Night, which was that sense of like of getting better. Like you, because the games are so short and so fast, and you're like just doing them super repetitively. Like you do get a sense of making more progress, just getting better at the game. There's like there's the upgrades which help a little bit, but there's just like you start to recognize their algorithms for generating the levels, so you start to like get into a rhythm of like knowing that I'm likely gonna have to do a bunch of jumps or I'm gonna have to do some like swiping side to side or whatever, and it's more of a brain training thing than a game in some ways, but it's satisfying in some ways, but yeah, the controls are frustrating. And then I tried the game, which is currently the number one top free app in the iTunes store, which makes me just sort of angry. It's called 4 Picks 1 Word. And it sort of bills itself as like a puzzle game, and it presents you with four photographs and then I think 12 letter tiles that you have to spell a word at the bottom, and it like gives you slots to put the letter tiles into, very much like draw something, but you're not playing with anybody. It's just sort of like pre-designed puzzles. And the puzzles are universally either trivial and just blatantly obvious, or they are baffling and the pictures have just like practically no bearing on what the word is.
Are you sure that you're not just maybe bad at this game or no. stupid?
No, there's like a finite number of puzzles. There's like 300 and some that they've made. And I got through it in a couple hours. And I would have gotten through it in like 20 minutes, except for there were like five puzzles that were just bad. There was one, the word is, this is a spoiler, by the way. There was one that the word was bluff. And there was one that was like a picture of a cliff, which I could sort of understand. There was one that was a picture of a guy jumping from one rock to another. And then there were two pictures of guys holding cards. Individual guys just holding cards. And you were supposed to figure out from those pictures that they meant bluff, which was ridiculous.
I mean, knowing the answer ahead of time makes me feel like I figured that puzzle out really easily.
Sure.
So on the next one, why don't you describe the pictures first and then see if we can guess it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to.
We'll make this into a game rather than just a weird story.
There was one that I'm gonna ruin it again. There was one that the answer was basic.
Don't tell us the answer. Yeah, it's first.
Kevin.
I can't tell you how bad this was if I don't tell you the answer. So the answer was basic, and there were a couple things that were just like simple things. Which sure, whatever.
There was a picture of Dartmouth University where the basic programming language was invented.
There was a picture of a program that I think was in JavaScript. And it made me so angry. It was either like CSS or JavaScript or something. What it wasn't was fucking basic. And I was like, fuck you guys for doing all this shit. It's all of the photographs are from a single stock photo library.
Oh, great.
And so it's like they have a pretty limited set of resources to use, and God.
See, I thought when I first, I was also like browsing through, I saw that and I looked at the preview and I saw that there was a picture of four pictures of dudes jumping, and the answer to that puzzle was jump, and I was like, yep, like this seems like maybe it's a game for like a 3-year old or something. Yeah, so no.
I wonder
if that's like a data collection thing. I wonder if like every fifth one that they give you is just four random pictures. Randomly selected pictures.
I thought about that too.
I mean, if they're all collected from a single stock photo library, you could probably just tag the photos and have a computer assemble puzzles for you.
Yeah. I mean, you would think. So if any of these things were true, you would think there would be more than the like 300 puzzles that comprises the entirety of the game. The fact that this is the number one is another thing that like indicates to me that I just don't understand people. Right? Like,
I mean, you could set up an Amazon Turk, a Mechanical Turk thing, to give people a penny for, you show them a photo from this site and ask them to list the words they can think of, this photo is about. And then you just delete the first six or eight of them, because those are going to be the most obvious ones.
Yeah.
And then have a computer pick any four images that have the same tag.
So you're trying to make a game that makes less money than no money by making a game that the developer has to pay strangers
just for a while, until the database is large enough that you can just generate puzzles indefinitely.
Or you can do what I suggested and just, it's like, do it like a standardized test, right? Where you, every once in a while, you just give somebody a random thing, and then whatever they guess, you give it a weak association between, you say, hey, that's right, buddy, nice work. And then so every picture gets associated with cunt.
Right.
because it immediately has become your favorite game, and you answer every question that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, yeah. Not just in the game. I like, that's just a feature of me, is that whenever anybody asks me a question, my answer is cunt.
I took one screenshot in the game. And
you're not going to be able to show us that screenshot.
No, but maybe I can describe it. Let's see here. No, it was never mind. It was the bluff one. Fuck it. Okay. Yeah. Fuck it. It is the worst. It is the worst game. It isn't even a game. I just don't forget that I mentioned it. Excise it from your brain.
Yeah. You've given them a lot of free advertising for such a terrible game.
Unless you're a new iOS developer and you want to make my cunt pictures game. And you could call it that, cunt picture. You can have that name for free.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll take like 20%, but other than that.
So the only other game besides The Assignment that I played was the predecessor to The Assignment, which I will just talk about during the assignment section.
Okay.
So
I played the SimCity beta.
Oh
yeah, the stress test.
Yep. It was fucking great. I really liked it. You got to play for an hour, and then when you were done with that hour, you could just totally play again for an hour. I did it. I made four cities and just tried various things to see how they would work out.
I hear the curved roads are mind-blowing.
It is so fucking great. The way...
Why are the curved roads mind-blowing? I don't understand.
The way that... So basically, you draw a road, and then you can... By when you're going to make new roads, by mousing over various parts of the roads, you can get it to lay out grid lines that it is anticipating that you will want. So like, you can... the thing that I did with my first city was I started out by just making the biggest like circle, the biggest perfect circle that would fit in the map square, and then connecting that to the highway interchange, which is how you like get started. And then when you're drawing the road tool, when you're using the road tool, if you mouse over like a road that goes through the middle of it, then it will show you blocks that you could make with that, you know, and or ones that radiate outwards, like towards. I'm doing a fucking terrible.
Yeah,
job
I'm having
this.
A really hard time understanding. What you're
so, like, you mouse over the big circle, and it will put a smaller circle inside
concentric.
That circle, the concentric ring inside it, and then make it trivial for you. It makes it trivial for you, even though you can draw anywhere. It makes it trivial for you to make regular blocks.
Okay.
Right, in of a U defined width, sort of. Right, like if you make
defined width.
You make two like, roads. If you make two roads, it will start to create.
Your foot is 11
grids.
Inches. Long.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. The pharaoh. you create two roads, and it will give you a grid that will let you continue that pattern out precisely.
Okay.
But you've decided how wide the blocks. Like you. It's just so nice. You just have to play with it, and you will understand why it is cool. But it was just, it was super, super fun to just play around with making roads before I even bothered starting to make a city. Yeah, but I tried a bunch of different things, including making, like, the worst possible city. We're just like, this is just all casinos and no police. And all of the... when you're making industrial sections, it tells you which way the wind is blowing so that you don't do what I did, which is to just build everyone's house directly
downwind
from the poison factory.
Coal smelting plant.
Yeah. Did you really make a city that the roads were laid out in a wizard cliff?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, that is exactly what I did with my first city. And it ruled. And that was like my most popular, that was the happiest anybody ever was when they lived in Sweet Wizard City.
Well, yeah, because it was a you are happy no matter what spell.
Yep. But most of the things that you can build were like marked as unavailable in the beta because, you know, they didn't want to just give away the whole game. But it's got a thing that I really like, which is you can sort of like there are a couple ways in which this manifests, but basically there are quests in it.
Wow.
So you'll get like a word bubble, you'll build a fire department, and then a word bubble will pop up. This is an event that triggered like every single time, so I think this is just on a schedule for after you've had a fire department for 6 months or something, where there's a guy at the fire department that's like, hey man, I really want to put on a fireworks show. It probably won't start any fires. And then the tip underneath says, it will definitely start fires. And so you can do it, and it will, like, make people happy, but then it will also start some fires, so you should only do it if you've, like, upgraded the fire station, and it's, like, able to actually deploy trucks to put the fires out. And then if you get the fireworks display to go off without any, without, you know, with like fewer than five houses burning down or whatever, then you get an extra 15,000 simoleons.
Nice.
It, the quests get a little weird when it's like, spend X dollars to complete this quest and get Y dollars back. So it's like, okay. The other thing, you can pick like a focus for, there are different like sort of like higher order buildings that are in these different trees. You can say like, these are mining buildings and these are tech buildings and these are cultural buildings. And on those panels, there are like little advisor dudes that you can click guide me. And that will start the, like, sort of major quest line for becoming a good culture city or becoming a good electronics city, like a tech city. And it will just be like, well, the first thing you need to do is build a grade school. And then so you'll get a quest to, like, build a grade school and then perform some upgrades on the grade school. And the upgrades are all using that sort of spore creature creator tech where... It, you know how you'd get, like, you know, you want to put a dick on this guy, and so you'd drag the dick over, and then it'll show you the different places you could put the dick, and then, like, you know, it'll pop into places where it can actually go. It's like that when you're, like, adding a block of classrooms onto a grade school to upgrade it, or, like, adding new garages to a fire station or whatever. It's just, it is so...
That is such a micro scale for a...
Yeah.
City building.
The cities are really small, though. Like, I think in general, you're probably going to have, like, one fire station. It's not... The amount of space that you have, it sort of scales up over time. Like, you will build a block, and it will start out just like people will move in trailers or whatever. And then as the land value increases, they will build bigger houses. And then maybe one of them eventually builds an apartment building, right? Or, like, a skyscraper... full of luxury condos or whatever. Right. So it scales. I don't know. It's very abstracted compared to previous SimCity games. I think it treats the city with a level of abstraction that is a little weird, you know, because there's your population is 15,000 people, but there you could look at all of the buildings and count them, and there are not enough places for 15,000 people to live. You know, okay. but it's more just like this fire department in this area represents a fire department with this amount of coverage.
This guy you see walking down the street is 100 guys.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. It is weird to me, Kevin. I feel like you are super dubious of my excitement about this game. Because it's like you just don't get why anybody would be excited about this, and I find that weird.
Well, like, because I, you know, I loved the original SimCity and I played it and stuff like that, but I don't understand why, like, a new take. It's not even a new. It's like just it's more of the same with like better graphics and like better algorithms or whatever. Like it just surprises me that it's like exciting because it's not fundamentally new, right? Like
it's the presentation of it is so great.
Huh.
It's got all these visual filters that you can put on. You can change the intensity of the tilt shift.
Okay.
So you can make your city look more or less like a stop motion miniature city, which is pretty great.
Okay.
You can make it all sepia toned.
Yeah, I heard there's like
the film noir.
The film noir like filter. Yeah. Does that filter just change, like, the black and whiteness, or does it?
Okay. Yeah, I believe it is all just colors. That's, I don't think it's actually like it actually makes it all like old cars and stuff.
Yeah, that would be so good.
You know, okay, but like those are all like neat things, but like, I don't know. It sounds like it would be a fun toy to play with, and I would like to do it. But
yeah, I mean,
when you say that there are like quests like things, like that seems like it's actually kind of interesting, but that's the first time I've heard anybody talk about that kind of stuff, right?
Well, like, because that's not the things that are impressive when you first start messing with it. Like it is just so engaging as a thing to interact with, and I think that was made very obvious even in that beginning gameplay video that was released. It was like, wow, just like seeing the ease with which this guy was making cool shit happen. Like I feel like playing SimCity games before, it was very much like you would make some decisions about how to zone stuff, and then you would do a bunch of sort of tedious, like, getting water pipes into places right. and getting electrical wires into places, and then you would just have to sit there
and wait
and see if the mm-hmm. simulation turned your actions into some fun shit that was happening right. with a little city. And in this, it is just like, it is on a scale where it can happen so fast.
Huh.
And the overall transformation of your city into, like, a city with skyscrapers and shit is, like, not that long, really. You know, and the replay is you go start another city, right? And then you've built the city with a really good, like, garbage dump. So now you can always just have that city handle your garbage for you because they've got extra garbage truck capacity or whatever.
Wait, how does that work?
There, you have like a region, and you can set up deals with the other cities in your region, which can either be multiplayer, like other people on the internet, or you can just have multiple cities.
Huh.
And your city is like specialized. Like you know, there was the video, the second gameplay video was the guy like, I'm going to make a city that's like casino focused. And so you can make a city that's like mostly casinos, but like that Vegas. Means that they need to get extra police support from neighboring cities, otherwise they would just be spending all of this room on extra police stations and stuff.
Huh.
Anything that you have in excess of, you can start to sell to neighboring cities. Service.
What does it mean by neighboring? Are they literally neighboring, or are they like
you zoom out? You zoom out, and now there's a regional view which has like three or four. Like squares that are zones that you could build cities in. And also, I mean, a lot of this is probably going to change in the real release. There's only one sort of geography, but mm-hmm. in the tutorial, you play in a city that is in a really hilly zone with like sort of seaside cliffs mm-hmm. and tunnels dug through mountains and stuff. But there are areas in which cities can be, and then there's a centralized area for a great work, which is like a thing that the cities in the region will collaboratively decide what they want to build, and it can mm-hmm. be like an airport or an arcology huh. or something. And it's, yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of my initial excitement is because it is really, really charming, and it is like the new XCOM in that it takes a style of gameplay that I was interested in, but that I never really wanted to deal with the amount of micromanagement, and it boils it down to just what is fun about it and lets you do all of that.
That does sound cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to come out, and I will have my real desktop when we get to San Francisco in a couple of weeks, and I will play it in front of you, and then you will be a convert.
Okay. Sounds good.
And you will be really angry at the always on DRM.
The
and misuse of the phrase tilt shift.
That, sure. Yeah, that too.
The game, like, I'm trying to think of the games that I'm excited about based on, like, hype and stuff like that. And part of it is just, like, I think my exposure to it. Like, I've not really seen any of these gameplay, videos of SimCity or whatever. But, like, I've been seeing a lot of stuff about BioShock Infinite, and it seems so cool.
Yeah. I've been deliberately not watching any of those videos they've been putting out.
Some of them are just like flavor stuff, like just kind of fun stuff. Some of them are like actual gameplay things. Some of them are like giving you a hint of like the story. It's just,
I mean, that whole like opening a portal to a world in which Back to the Future is currently playing in a movie theater, that was just like such like, they are just giving hand jobs to our generation. Like that trailer might as well have just blown us for how excited that image
super
is going to make you see. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm not immune to hype, but I'm a lot less prone to it than I mm-hmm. used to be when I was younger. But like, seeing the initial videos of this SimCity stuff, and seeing it, hey, here's this game, it's going to be out in like 4 months, is a totally different thing than like, you know, a couple of years ago, I saw that, you know, the first BioShock Infinite gameplay video, and I was like, oh wow, this looks like a really cool, like, this is a really cool BioShock in a different environment, you know?
Yeah, right.
And like, BioShock was all right. I liked it. You know, I played it to completion, which is something that I do not do with a lot of modern, you know, mainstream games. But yeah, I mean, it's when is BioShock Infinite coming out? Is it even an, no? It went gold. It went gold like yesterday, right? Yeah.
March 26th is the sale date.
Well, that's pretty exciting then. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, now guys, I'm super pumped.
And I'm also excited about The Last of Us.
Which one is that?
It's Naughty Dog's next game. It's like,
I hear it has really, really good water.
It does have really good water. I think it might be like a zombie survival type game, but you are basically, or maybe it's just post-apocalyptic. I'm not entirely sure. I've been trying not to spoil myself too much about it. But it's, I think maybe I just like games where you are protecting a young woman. Like I like Ico. What else? I like all the Zelda games.
What was the game that was reminding everybody of Ico? I guess Shadow of the Colossus was the one that
people.
Right? Yeah, same.
There was a Prince of Persia game where you're helping a lady. I think she might be sassy though. So that's different.
But in both BioShock Infinite and in Last of Us, I think you're basically escorting. You're doing a giant long escort quest with some young lady.
I hope to fuck that there's not a lot of that actual escort questiness
in BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like something I saw a year and a half ago was a gameplay trailer where the two of you and this like NPC character are like doing attacks in concert against enemies, like combining your powers with her powers.
Yeah,
like
it depends on, I mean, the quality of a escort quest is based on how well the escort NPC can handle themselves and deal with being alone for a minute.
Mm. Yeah, who knows? It remains to be seen, but it like those are the things that I've been excited about. But you know, I think part of that is how much money they're putting into advertising, right? Because like I'm seeing those things way more than I saw anything about SimCity, so maybe that's right. I'm just falling prey to that.
I mean, SimCity is not as sexy as BioShock Infinite, right? And sure. I mean, it's like a PC game, you know? So I mean, that's the thing. Like it is like crack to a certain demographic of gamer, and I don't know, man. I did not play. You know, I guess I did. I guess I did play a ton of SimCity 2000. Mm-hmm. And, like, SimCity for the Super Nintendo was one of two games I had for the Super Nintendo for the first, like, year that I had it. So, played the shit out of that.
Did you, like, rent Super Nintendo games or something? Or
We were just poor, Kevin. Not everybody grew up in a solid gold pyramid.
But you had...
Also, we were poor and not weird.
You had a game system and only two games for it for a year?
Yeah, I mean, it came with Super Mario World, and then I got SimCity, and then, like, at some point, the Zelda game came out, and my dad bought it.
Huh.
And those might be the only three Super Nintendo games that I owned. Wow. We did eventually move to a place where I could ride my bike to the place to rent Super Nintendo games, and so I could do that without having to, like, hey, can I talk somebody into driving me to a place just so I can do a thing you think is a waste of time and money? Which is kind of a hard sell with, you know, a busy, busy family. But so I also have been playing a bunch of Bully. Okay. Just because I was listening to myself on the last podcast saying, like, I really need to take my medicine and play that game because I should play. I know I should play it. And then I was like, well, what's the matter with you, pussy? Just sit down and do it. So I bought it for the PC. And I think that I may have discovered something about myself and my relationship with Rockstar games. The games from Rockstar that I really liked were, prior to this, Grand Theft Auto, Vice City.
Right.
And GTA 3, to a lesser extent. Those are the ones that I played the most of. And everything else that I ever tried to play, all the Red Dead games and GTA 4 and San Andreas, I played on consoles. And I'm like, all right, so the ones that I played on consoles I did not like, and the ones that I played on PC I did like. And playing Bully on the PC, I am really, really enjoying it.
Huh.
And I also, trying to play it the opposite of the way that I would normally play like a GTA game, all I'm doing is going to class when the bell rings and then doing one submission per evening in the order that it's presenting me with the missions, rather than trying to treat it like an open world game where I'm running around exploring stuff.
Okay.
And it definitely supports that a lot more than it supports the style of play where I'm cut. There's one. I have not yet figured out how to get to the gym in the amount of time that you have between when the bell rings, which indicates that you're supposed to go to gym class next, and class starts. So the way that I get to the gym class is by just deliberately getting caught by a truant officer just every time. So that's a pretty good tactic. Like, I just don't want to go to gym. I mean, I'm running towards it, but the PC port has some issues. There's a, The classes are all these mini games, and like winning the mini game for that level of class, you get a certain number of tries, and then I guess you, I don't know what it means if you fail it, if you just like can never get that power up, but it will like unlock, you know, you pass chemistry the first time by doing the little DDR mini game, and it makes it so you can use a chemistry set in your dorm room to make firecrackers.
Huh.
And then you just have as many firecrackers as you want. There is a music mini game that it has started to ask you to press two keys at the same time, but the keys that it wants you to use are left alt and right alt. Hmm. And my keyboard does not acknowledge that those keys are being pressed at the same time for whatever. So that, like, I'm having trouble with that. And I hope it never gets to the point where that's like a thing that I need to be able to do in order to pass, because that's going to make me real sad.
The next level of it is you have to press Control Alt and Delete.
Yeah. So then I got to the point in the game where I got a skateboard, and it tells you this is the combination of keys that you need to press simultaneously to get on your skateboard. Mouse scroll up, mouse scroll down. So I took a guess. And I thought, what if I just click the scroll wheel? And that worked. So you can get on the skateboard by clicking the scroll wheel instead of doing the literally impossible thing that the game asks you to do.
Well, so maybe when it says left and right alt, it means space bar.
Yeah, yeah. You're supposed to hit something that's in the middle of them.
Are the keys not configurable? Because that sounds like
they might. Yeah, they might be. I've gotten used to them now. It's rough, man. I don't know that you're really supposed to use the mouse a lot of the time, because there's a ton of shit that requires the arrow keys also. You move around with WASD, your primary action key is left alt, which is kind of... left alt and left shift, which are sort of difficult.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes are just trying to beat you up all the time, and the targeting is such that it's real easy to accidentally punch somebody that you are not in a fight with. I'm mostly just like, I just want to go to class.
Are you not a bully? You are being bullied?
Nah, you're troubled, you know, but you're the good guy. Like, you're protecting. You only use your beatings to protect the innocent.
Innocent.
Okay. Yeah, and to stop the actual bullies from picking on the weaker kids.
Huh.
You know, it's more like a pick on somebody your own size kind of thing. You can just go pick fights with people. You can punch anybody.
Can you get in a car and run people over?
I don't think you can get in a car. You're only 15, so you're not allowed to. The reason that I know that is not because it's like, you are 15-year-old Jimmy whatever, but it's because at one point a hobo asks you if you have any whiskey, and you say, I'm 15. I'm like, well, that was pretty good. That was a good way of introducing that fact in the story. That when you go, when you take transistors to the hobo, which there are apparently 6 transistors hidden on the map, and what they appear as is a giant broken radio. Mm-hmm. You take them to the hobo, and he teaches you some of his special forces hand-to-hand techniques from Nom.
Awesome.
Yep.
Why does he want transistors?
I think he's trying to fix his mind control shield or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm actually having a ton of fun playing this game now, and it makes me happy.
Hmm.
It sounds like it could. I mean, you can come up with a cool set of systems couched in this like environment that we all have sort of a common experience with, and make it compelling.
I think that was what I've read, and this made a lot of sense to me, was that the primary reason that Bully didn't really catch is because we don't have the shared experience of a boarding school the way that maybe, you know. And I don't know if boarding school is just a way more common thing in England or what.
Did you never, like, go away for a residential school thing ever?
Again, Kevin, I was poor growing up, so no.
I did, like, summer nerd things that were...
Right, and they probably cost $1 billion a summer. And because, you know, because my parents couldn't just scrape a little bit off the outside of our solid gold pyramid that we lived in and, you know, get the nanny to take me to rich kid school. Am I... Do you feel bad yet?
I don't know. Well, I'm thinking about Downton Abbey now.
I can't afford to watch Downton Abbey, so I'm not going to be able to participate in this conversation with you.
Fair enough.
I guess at a certain point I qualified for some sort of, like, math and science boarding school that I could have gone to if we had stayed in Illinois, but I sort of decided that I didn't want to.
A replacement for regular high school?
Yeah. Wow. It was just a thing. It was just a thing that you got to go to instead of high school if you qualified for it based on some kind of test scores that I apparently took.
Interesting. That would have been a very different life experience for you, probably.
Yeah, you know, I met some of those guys once I went to, like, because the place that I ended up going for my freshman year of college, a lot of the nerds there were from that school, and I am really glad that I did not go to that school, just based on, I mean, I don't know that I would have turned out like them, but I liked me better than I liked them at that point.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, just the fact that Bully doesn't tap into, like, this resonant, like, I guess it's sort of like a weird combination. It's like a weird combination of, but I mean, that's, so Vice City taps into movies that we've all seen.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Bully is a very fictionalized, it's like a cross between high school movies and college movies, right? Because this is a place where you live and your parents aren't involved in it, but it also has, like, the typical... Well, I do actually like the systemization of romance in this game more than anything. It's just basically like, if you give a girl flowers if she is skinny and chocolates if she is fat, she will then kiss you. And then if you get a girl to be your girlfriend, she will always want to kiss you in exchange for either flowers or chocolate. And By doing these things in art class, which I am almost sure that the gag of this is that you play like a Quicks game to make a painting in art class, and I'm pretty sure that what's going on is that you are just making more and more suggestive paintings of the sexy art teacher, and so I kind of want to see where that goes, but you start to gain more health when you kiss a girl.
Oh, that's like, that's like a health regen.
Yeah, drinking soda and kissing girls is how you get it.
Wow. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's got charms. It's got a good. I'm really glad that I talked myself into doing this, and I'm enjoying it. And I think that was it.
Bully for you.
Yeah, I think that was it. Besides the assignment.
Cool.
I'll tell you what. I got to piss real bad. So let's. What's in the news, Kevin?
Well, the big news that everybody's talking about is PlayStation 4. It's been announced. It will be for reals. It'll be available for sale by the 2013 holiday season. They've been coming out with all kinds of details about it. It looks interesting. There's a lot going on. A crazy new controller that has like a touch screen on it and like a headphone jack and some. It's like redesigned in a couple of interesting ways. It's built on like a x86 processor and has a bunch of RAM and a really like high-end graphics processing unit. Like it's meant to be sort of very forward-thinking in terms of like be really extensible for future content. Which, if it's built on an x86 processor, that also means that porting might be easier. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm really curious as the details come out and stuff like that. A bunch of launch titles were announced for it.
I feel like this will be the thing that I will start caring about in 2017 when it's time for me to get a PS4.
Were there any titles of note? Anything we'd have heard of? Or?
There were nothing that like jumped out at me as a launch title. The one thing that I've been seeing a bunch of that was also announced earlier this week was Bungie announced that the project they've been working on is called Destiny, which is going to be on the PS4. But it's
is it with two E's, title. So it's a stripper, or with a not. Y, so it's like maybe a religious family.
That's site. That's the thing where the guy that runs Bungie was talking about how nobody plays FPS games with mouse and keyboard anymore.
That quote
and
was
everybody
quote
on the
was,
internet
was taking that quote out of context a little bit. I don't. I intended when you mentioned it, and I figured you were probably going to mention it on the podcast to read the thing that I read that actually made that
put it in context.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't great, but
I mean, Bungie was never supposed to abandon the Mac, and they have both now. They are both abandoning the Mac and PCs entirely, which is a little depressing.
Yeah,
I have abandoned Mac in the sense that I also have Windows on my machine at this point. So
you know better than Bungie.
I know, right?
I mean, that's just out of self defense.
I'm gonna just install a PS4 in my dongle.
I guess that'll make it easier to emulate if it's on an x86 processor.
That's the other thing is it's an x86 processor and there's no inherent PS3 support.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that. That it's not going to be in any way backwards compatible.
Well, but the way that they were saying it implied that there might be some like emulation PS3 emulation, which I wonder if that would be something that they would like. On my Mac, I had a PlayStation emulator, and it worked pretty well. And you would just put the PlayStation discs in the regular drive, and
those weird flat black PlayStation discs.
Yeah.
and as it was, opposed to the round black PlayStation discs.
No, like matte, flat as in matte colored.
Yeah, it was. They were strange looking. And I don't know.
It looked like a fake CD that would be on the end of a spindle or something.
Right.
And what else?
Okay. Well, you pointed out that Jagex is rolling out some old school RuneScape servers. They're doing some. I don't know how exactly this came up, but like, they put up a poll asking their player base, "Do you want us? Would you give us money to play on RuneScape servers that had code from 2007
The people whining about how much better RuneScape was in 2007, they said, all right, well, will you put your money where your mouth is? And they, a whole bunch of them, put their mouths somewhere and said, sure,
yeah,
why not?
So there were over 100,000, maybe 150,000 people said yes. And so they're going to try it. They're going to put it out there. It's not going to, Unless a ton of additional people get on board and actually start paying for it, they're not actually going to develop any content for it. It's just going to be sort of a static version of the 2007 game.
Yeah, no microtransaction stuff either, so it's just subscription. Like, you just have to pay to play on that server. I am honestly really curious as to how that is going to play out, because there is always a vocal contingent talking about, how much better it was before Update X ruined the game. And my theory on that is that those people are, in like basically 100% of cases, people who are just tired of the game and are looking for an excuse to talk themselves into quitting.
Maybe. I mean, so they're like,
but this is a really, I am super interested to see how this turns out.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree.
Is this going to prompt a Kingdom of Loathing NS11
server?
Server.
I, I definitely feel like there are subsequent versions of software that I use that makes the experience worse for me, right?
Sure.
And I'm not talking about games. Like, the iTunes 11 is kind of ridiculously bad for the way that I use iTunes, right? So I don't want to upgrade to that. Like, I'm purposefully keeping.
I definitely had to relearn iTunes. I'm enjoying it more now that I'm familiar with it, though.
The inability to have multiple windows would drive me, I think, crazy, because I constantly am popping stuff out into separate windows to do different things. Like, I like having my media in one place and then doing stuff on, like, making playlists. I like the way that I make playlists for music is to have four or five windows open at a time with different orderings and stuff.
I think that, like, productivity or just general, like, not that iTunes isn't entertainment software, but it is software that you're using to accomplish a purpose. And anytime there's an update that makes it, that adds friction to your accomplishment of a purpose, that is going to suck, right? Like, that XKCD about everything fucks up somebody's workflow,
right?
Which doesn't, that's a,
Well, so, but I mean, I think you could also feel the same way about a video game, right? Like, you have a particular path to...
Yeah, my job is smiting orcs.
Yeah, and when there's more friction with that from the way that you used to play, there are people who I think would just play a particular, World of Warcraft from 2008. That was, like, their favorite part of the game, and they would just keep playing that for... years.
I don't think that they would, though. They would keep playing that if the, like, one of the things that made it good in 2008 was that new stuff was being added to it while you were still excited about it.
Well, but there are people who played Diablo 2 for 12 years, right?
Diablo 2 continued to get content patches.
It got some, but, like, they slowed way down. there were a couple in the first, but like the first couple of years had some kind of punches in it, but then there were like 6 or 7 years where there was very little going on.
Sure.
So, and people, still are excited about it. So,
part of this is that I want to feel like our lives have some meaning. And so I don't want to feel like if we just stopped doing new stuff in KOL that anyone would continue to play it and pay for it. I want to feel like the updates that define it in my mind are also what define it.
I think if we stopped working on it, I think it would probably pay for its own server costs for a couple years. I think. I mean, depends on what you. Actually, it might. It potentially could last 50 years, right? Because it would probably have a couple of years where it was making way more than server costs, and the costs would go way down.
And if you had it such. I mean, our this is a bad example because our server costs are not particularly scalable downwards.
They could be.
Well, no, because we have owned hardware, right? Like, if we migrated it to, like,
cloud
AWS or something. Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. Anyway, I'm really curious to see how this Jagex thing goes.
Me too.
I want to see of the 100,000 people who said, yes, I would pay for this, I will be amazed if 1% of them are actually willing to pay for it. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I am prepared to be amazed.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be easy to follow up on that, because I think if it flops, it's not going to be in the news. I think you're going to have to actively pay attention to it.
Yeah, and I'm probably not going to do that.
Yeah. So maybe somebody, okay, somebody who is listening through the Video Games Hot Dog archive from 2015. This is like a
time capsule.
Yeah. Please tell us. Please write us an email and say, hey, this is what happened with that. I'm looking into it right now, and turns out, blah.
And if the technology exists, please send us a sports almanac.
Yeah, I was just going to say, also, email me with the Kentucky Derby winners.
Oh, man, if this actually works, if we start getting, like, emails from the future, I'm going to be psyched.
Well, I'm guessing you having said that, we are going to get at least one email with three random horse names. And you know what? Fuck it. I'm betting all of the company's money on whatever horse yes. names get emailed to us
Shoot
right now.
Shoot the wad
because
on the trifecta.
We don't know. It might actually be from the future.
Yeah.
Did you... there was a time traveler convention a couple years ago. Do you remember this?
I remember hearing about Stephen Hawking holding a time traveler's party where he didn't send the invitations out until after it was over.
There was a time traveler convention, I think it might have been at MIT, where they were like, okay, we're going to have this thing, we're going to try to publicize it as much as possible and see if anybody shows up, you know, from the future or whatever. And I think there were nobody showed up, and they were like, well, either we didn't get the word out enough or time travel doesn't exist.
So. Or the time travelers all felt that to go to such a thing would destroy the continuum.
Sure.
Or that time travel is possible, but it becomes impossible if you ever convince someone that it's possible. So you're not allowed to prove it. I mean, right, it's like that, you know, you cannot prove that God exists because proof denies faith, and without faith, God is nothing. So you cannot prove that time travel exists.
Because if the time travel machine was invented by accident, then that accident could be prevented by people knowing it was possible and actively working on it.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Huh. So maybe it does keep happening. We keep inventing time travel, and then definitionally you have to go back in time and prevent it from happening, because anything that you do will prevent time travel from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Next news.
Okay. Wastelands Interactive announced a game. I think, I'm not sure when this announcement came out, but it looks pretty cool. It's called Worlds of Magic. Looks like it's going to be sort of a more modern take on the sort of standard 4X
style. See, we need a better term. We need, okay, so like 4M for magic. So you magic, mapping...
Monsters.
Murdering monsters,
yeah.
And masturbating.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the fourth? Like, the fourth X stands for masturbating, right?
Extirbating.
Well, I mean, the triple X, right? Those all three of those are masturbating.
Oh, right. I was going to make a joke. I was going to make a joke about when you said launch titles, I thought launch titties. And then I was going to make a joke about BMX Triple X 2 being both a launch title for the PS4 and a launch titties game.
Huh. Great.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I remembered that. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, I'm having read that sort of like press release announcement thing. I'm pretty excited about the possibilities there.
I didn't think you even liked Master of Magic that much.
I did. I like that. I like the idea. I like 4X games a lot, you know. Yeah. I don't know that I will play it anytime soon.
Okay, or just BMX 4X, which is a sequel to BMX Triple X, but it's more about like expanding into new bike trick territories, yeah, and finding new titties to launch, developing better titty launching technology.
Is it BMX and then four more X's, or is it just BMXXXX?
This is BM O'Harris, the shittinest Irishman. Sanu. I also invented a new, I came up with a new NPC name last night, but I was trying to annoy my girlfriend by just shouting the words burned out bulb, burned out bulb, burned out bulb, burned out bulb over and over again. And I created a character named Bulldog Bart. He's a rootin' tootin' prospector. And then I talked like him for a couple of hours.
I wonder about your interactions.
Gotta start fucking drinking again. Seriously, it's so boring. I just have to torture people. Huh. I really was kind of upset. The neighbors have these really fancy lampposts, and one of their bulbs was burned out, and it upset me. It was like I didn't see enough yellow cars on the way to work that day, and so the order was upset.
Huh. Do you normally pay attention to the light bulbs of your neighbors?
Well, no, I just noticed it because it was nighttime. And they're like these neat old-timey globe street lamps that they have in their front yard, and the, you know, one of them had all five lit up and one of them only had four lit up.
Hmm. That is problematic.
Emily always gets pissed off because there is this fucking giant, there is like this giant estate in between us and the sushi restaurant that we go to a lot of the time, and their driveway is flanked by three lions. It is not two lions or four lions, but it is two lions on one side and one lion on the other side, and it makes her so angry.
Yeah, that would annoy me.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm wondering about regarding the lights is, are you sure it's five on the one and four on the other, or maybe you've just been injected with a mind control drug?
Okay. Yeah, that could be it. Yeah, and that's what made me decide to just say burn double, fart. And then later on, I fucked up my own joke and referred to him as Bullfrog Bart, and then she knew it wasn't real.
Oh, that's how she knew.
Yeah. No, otherwise, she was convinced that I had become an old-timey prospector named Bulldog Bart, who was just trying to invite her along on some rootin' tootin' good times.
Rootin' tootin'. Obama, in sort of a... He's interesting in that he is, like, embracing modern technology. He was in a Google Plus hangout with people. And he talked about how he would be in favor of backing, like, initiatives to have kids write computer games, basically.
Yeah.
Because right? he talked to, like, Mark Zuckerberg, and he's like, you know, how did you come to be where you are today? And he's like, well, I started coding because I liked video games and I wanted to make video games, you know? He thinks of the possibility of kids making games as a way of, like, getting them excited about math and science.
I mean, it's sort of a way to teach
every possible
system. Computing discipline, right?
Yeah.
So, you know,
I would have, like, loved the shit out of that when I was a kid, but I don't know if, I mean, I guess the world is different now than it was when we were kids. I would have been the only person signed up for that class.
Yeah,
if it had
been
offered to me.
My school, there were like three of us that were super into computers, you know, and the other kids just didn't seem to care as much. There were kids that played games, but I don't know that anybody would have wanted to write games.
They were all into what? Polo and...
Yes.
Pewter sweaters. I'm trying to... I don't know what rich people do.
That's a terrible idea.
It seems like it'd be expensive because it's hard to make.
I mean, most rich people are dipped into solid gold rivers when they're children, so they have a full suit of golden armor.
Well, except their heel, right?
Except for their heel, yes, exactly.
You know, I would think that if that was happening to me, I would want to have been dipped into it by my dick so that I wouldn't have my dick coated in solid gold. Like, if there's only going to be one part of me. Or maybe I get dipped in by my face.
Oh, yeah.
My face and my dick at the same time, like a hammock.
Did you've seen the, I think it's Goldfinger, the James Bond movie where they kill the woman by painting her entire body gold.
Yeah. And
the theory was that her skin suffocated or something.
Like, didn't the woman from that movie actually die because of that?
I don't think so. I've never heard that.
No, Brandon Lee accidentally shot her. And then that's why she shows up by that window in
The Rescuers?
Three Men and a Baby.
Oh.
Wait, why The Rescuers?
There's a naked lady in a window in The Rescuers cartoon.
And the dust says sex.
No, this is an actual one that it only exists in one frame of the film, and it was only ever discovered once DVD became a thing so that you could actually freeze frame it.
Frame?
Yeah, some animator had a little joke.
Huh.
BlizzCon is happening.
Yeah, in November, the 8th and 9th, they announced that they're doing their thing.
So they must have something to announce.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably announced the next WoW expansion. What do you think? Emerald Dream?
I don't know. I've thought Emerald Dream for years, so I have no fucking idea what they're going to do. Like, that's been... They have had Emerald Dream
don't
assets,
they usually
map assets in the game for 6 years.
Because don't they usually skip a BlizzCon regarding WoW updates.
Well, they skipped an entire year. There was no BlizzCon 2012.
Well, what I mean is, isn't it usual that the BlizzCon, after a big WoW update comes out, they won't have any new WoW news?
I mean, I think that would be true if they had had
one. If there had been a BlizzCon last year, but I think they didn't do a BlizzCon because they didn't have anything to announce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe they announced Titan. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking it's possible they'll do that. I mean, it could be. I mean, they'll have the next StarCraft expansion. Yeah.
They'll probably announce the Diablo 3 expansion. I would guess.
Could be. So who knows, you know.
Right, I didn't even think about that. That is a thing that they do. They expand. I don't even remember what class I was playing. Barbarian? That seems like
Yeah, I think you were playing Barbarian.
Barbarian.
I had the wizard.
I was a monk.
Yeah. I've been tempted to go back and play that. I think all of the Path of Exile talk has been.
You should just play Path of Exile.
I am tempted to
try
it.
Great barter economy. I could do it as an assignment, and then you'd have to.
I tried it, but the hacked fan Mac client was, I don't know, it was pretty clunky.
So kept blowing your cowboy hat off.
Yeah.
Why not just play it on Windows?
I guess I could, but if I'm going to go through the trouble of shutting down and rebooting into Windows, I'm going to play something like Fallout 3 or something that I know is good and that I'm in the middle of playing.
I see. Huh. Well, okay.
I would never play any video games because the idea... Kevin, you get so sad when you have to, switch to Windows to run payroll or something. You put it off all day. You, dread doing it and try to come up with as much stuff to do at a time. And, if I had to do that to play video games,
I'd be work, do that. It's frustrating. I can't be in the middle of anything and just put it on hold. I have to just, yeah. But that said, I've gotten used to it, and I do it a couple times a month now. So
I would buy you a Windows computer.
I want a single artifact. What I want is my phone and my computer and my wallet and my pocket knife all to be the same object.
And your dick, so you'd always know where it was.
Sure.
It's always in the refrigerator in a tub of margarine.
which is on top of the vaccine.
Yes.
All right. That's the news.
That's what's up in the world.
So this assignment.
Yeah.
System Shock 2.
Pretty good.
I am loving the shit out of it. Kevin is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm enjoying it. It's I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm loving the shit out of it, but it's definitely a good game.
What did you think of Deus Ex, Riff?
It was... I enjoyed it nearly as... I'm enjoying this a little bit more. I found Deus Ex to be a little bit more awkward interface-wise, I think. It's been a while since I played it, so I don't have a real clear memory.
I really wish that this updated GOG client had interface scaling, because shit is real far
real
away
small.
From other shit.
Yeah,
and it's super. Yeah, it's super small. I set mine to the max resolution, and I was like, "Huh, maybe this was not the best idea."
I mean, I cannot play something in non-native resolution on a flat screen monitor. Every ounce of my being wants to strangle every other ounce of it if I'm doing that.
Mine doesn't go to native resolution.
Hmm.
Mine, the highest I could go was 1400 by 1020 or something.
Yeah, well, that is the native resolution of my monitors at work. Oh, I've been playing this at the office.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, my monitor, every time I switch to the game, it comes up, pops a little thing up. It's for best performance, change to this resolution. I'm thanks. Yes, I realize that I'm not playing at native resolution. It doesn't look super bad. The main menu is really blurry and awful, but
I would really hate for those one polygon face models to be distorted or anything.
Those are the graphics are kind of terrible.
I mean, the environments are fine.
They're kind of plain. Well, the beginning of the game is really Spartan. Like that, it felt very tacked on, the like intro tutorial.
Yeah, it was really straight. Like it seems like the game had two tutorials, right? It had the actual had this sort of Cybertronic tutorial, and then you picked all your, you know, you moved through the space to find all your missions, and then on the first level of the game, there were also screens sort of poorly explaining all of the gameplay systems to you, which leads me to believe that that tutorial was like a late game addition.
I think it was. Honestly, those computer screens...
It was possible to not do those interactive tutorials, wasn't it? You could just walk past them.
You can skip right by them,
It's not possible to not do the character creation was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed that.
So part of my insanity is that I did every possible... Well, not every possible combination, but I did every possible path just to see what it was like. And I read all the text and stuff.
Well, you can get the text without... Oh, no, you actually looked at the results of them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are there any of them that are unusual?
I mean, the text, you know, the text is like not all that unusual, but I did not... Some choices that you make, you get different starting items, which I thought was interesting. They, I think they... Like, I just did sort of a mathematical analysis of it. I don't know, and not having played through the game yet, I don't know why you would do anything other than the OSA, because it just seems like the coolest one.
That's the Psy? Are you doing a lot of Psy stuff?
You're gonna hate how I'm playing this game. Like this is me. Whereas, like, if we did a Let's Play, no one would want to see anything, like, ever watch me play a game because I'm such an asshole. Like, I did the OSA, but I have not yet spent any of my upgrade points. I've got 60 of them or something. I'm just hanging on to them because I want, like, I did this with Deus Ex too. Like, I hang on to all the points for as long as I can, unless I, like, if I get locked out of a section of the game, I'll go back and I'll be like, okay, well, I'm going to lose access to all these things, so I need to spend the points to get access to these things, because I know I want hacking and I know I want, like, research, but I don't know when I need to get them, and I want to have the flexibility for a while because I want to try out all the systems of the game.
Although I think this doesn't actually hurt you. On the third deck, she gives you enough cyber modules to get level one research, which you need if you don't already have it, because you actually need to research something to advance the plot.
Interesting.
I ended up saving up a bunch, and then I was super glad because I found a fucking lightsaber, and then I was like, man, a lightsaber. And I went to equip it, and it was like, you need 4 points in energy weapons. And I was like, I figured out what I'm spending those points on. But it was only, I had 26 spare, and that was enough to get me from 0 to 4.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I think I want to do energy weapons, but, like, I want to find a grenade launcher and then be able to play with it. Like, that's the one disadvantage that you kind of have with this game system is, like, there are going to be toys in the game that you don't get to play with because you've made a bunch of early decisions. Mm-hmm. And it potentially lets you go through, like... If you wanted to do multiple playthroughs, but I know that I'm not going to, so I'm trying to play through the game, leaving myself the option to play it however I want when the late game comes, that's not the most fun way to play the game, but it's interesting to try to maximize the systems. I mean, like, I've been killing everything with a wrench so far.
Yeah,
I mean, it's good to do that when you can. I mostly have been saving bullets for
monkeys.
No, I've been... They're hard to hit with a melee weapon, but you can do it.
They are hard.
You get used to it.
I hate the noise they make.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I've been saving bullets for security cameras.
Really?
Because even though I took hacking, and then I took the perk that increases your hacking level specifically for security computers, I don't like hacking security computers. Because it puts a timer. It creates all this additional time pressure. I wish if I could just hack them and then they were off... for good.
Right.
I see. Which is what you get if you just shoot the fucking camera.
I have not... I may eventually have to start shooting cameras. Up till now, I have been able to either get underneath a camera before it alarms or hack a security terminal near to the camera so I can go and hit it with a wrench.
Right. Yeah. You get enough bullets later if you're not like using
it. You can always buy more bullets, and like there are places the enemies are infinitely respawning, and they
that's drop a bummer.
Currency. So that's like I feel like you can always do stuff. There, I'm in a place right now. I did not get super far into it.
Well, right, because you, like a fucking lunatic, decided to play through the entirety of System Shock 1 before you started this.
So. I mean, I have a mental problem, which is like I wanted to like know the backstory. I want to know the whole progression of something, and I also really wanted to compare and contrast this game to the first one. And like when you said that when we decided to do this to do System Shock 2 as an assignment, and I had never played the first one, I was like the other thing which really compelled me to do this was there was somebody from my fraternity was one of the like lead sort of designers, programmers for System Shock, and like I had when I was in college, they kept talking about System Shock, and I was like, oh man, I gotta play that someday, and I just never did. And so it was like it was actually kind of important to me just as like a personal project to actually play through that game. And it was the number of like in jokes in the game was really surprising to me. In the first 5 minutes you encounter the grape sodas, which is like a common thing at my fraternity. There's a guy named David, this is in System Shock 1, there's a guy named David Honig in one of the logs who was an actual member of my fraternity like before my time. And then the first like there's like a sequence of five numbers that you encounter, which it was the Athena cluster combination, like the combination to like the computer system for years and years. And that was the Athena combo. And I was like, holy shit, this whole game is like a MIT / TEP like.
Is that like 14510 or something, that the code that shows up early in System Shock 2 also?
No, that's something different. This was like it was like 24 something. I forget what the number was, but I was like,
it was clearly really important to you. You're kicked out of the frat, buddy.
They
this is worse than that time the candle went out.
The Athena combo. The Athena combo was the same for probably 10 years or so. And then, or maybe 15 years, and then while I was at MIT, they started actually changing it, like, on a yearly or every other year basis. They also had, like, the same root password on all the machines for a long time, and then enough, like, high school kids started coming to MIT and fucking with the machines that they had to change the root password on all the machines. But, yeah. So System Shock 1 was a ton of fucking fun, and terrible interface.
Yeah, because I mean, you didn't even have like WASD and mouse look, right? Like, yeah, I feel like System Shock 1 had the exact same problem, which made it so even though I very, very much want to play Ultima Underworld, I just don't think that I ever can.
Because the interface is so bad. It like you had. It's not WASD. It's like it's shifted down. It's like S X Z C, and then there's like leaning. You have to lean a lot, and there's also like rotating is all done by keys. Like it was kind of a nightmare, like wrapping my head around how to do it, and it took forever for me to get used to it.
I mean, it is because it came from a time when a lot of people still didn't have a mouse.
Yeah. Like I think you could play through the game without the mouse, probably. It would, the mouse definitely helps, but yeah, like it made me so glad that WASD and mouse became a standard, because like it like
and nobody Shock 2 nobody like, plays that like, way anymore.
Almost, I feel like System Shock 2 is like. It's like almost there, because it's like that. Those aren't the default controls, but you can like set them to be.
Yeah, you can make it like that. Yeah. I had to reassign all the fucking weapon hotkeys. They were just all set to nothing.
Yeah.
I saw that, but I haven't reassigned them. I've just been using scroll wheel.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah, I'd never even occurred to me to try that. I was afraid that I would jump onto it off of a skateboard at the same time if I did that.
Something that you didn't try, which I'm surprised about, is that there's a little, not that you could tell, there's a tiny little question mark which you can click on in your lower left interface on the use inventory, and then you can click on objects in your inventory to get like actual item descriptions for everything that you pick up. And some of them are like funny and some of them are neat. Like there's a surprising amount of stuff going on there that I feel like 90% of people who play the game wouldn't ever look at.
I wonder if there is like a web page somewhere that just has screenshots of all of those that I could just read all of them at once after I'm done. I at this point, my plan is to continue playing this game until I beat it because it seems fucking great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm moving through it very slowly because I'm playing pretty much full hacker pistol mans, so I don't have a lot of health, so I'm sort of creeping down halls and being extremely cautious and looking for cameras and stuff.
I started over and went Marines, and then I was just like, I'm just going to be gun and hack man.
Interesting.
But I want the like extra strength and endurance, and I'm like just a fucking tank. I've got, you know, like 65 hit points or something, and it's been great.
I went OSA. I'm like, I totally want to be some sort of psychic crazy dude.
Yeah, I'm like planning on spending no points on psi abilities. Like I just have been, I've been completely ignoring that aspect of the game.
I might get the telekinesis thing, but other than that, I don't.
There's at least one place that I've been that I think the only way to get a small number of items is through telekinesis. I'm not sure how you would get them otherwise.
Yeah, there's like those nanite satchels that are like way up high in some rooms.
Sometimes you can shoot them down with a pistol.
Oh.
I discovered that by seeing something way off in the distance and not being sure if it was an item or a camera. So I shot it a couple times and it fell down on the ground. It was like, oh, okay.
I can't tell if this is a camera or a monkey.
But that's awesome because I feel like they really do want there to be multiple ways to play through the game. Like, you know, like you can destroy the cameras, you can hack them. Like there's a bunch of options. Like turrets are a huge pain in the ass if you don't have hacking.
No, you just like three armor piercing bullets and they're gone.
Oh, wait, okay. You can hack a turret?
Yeah, you can hack a turret and then it'll shoot your enemies.
Yeah.
Huh. For you. I have not been willing to get that close to
Well, I think
a
you
turret.
Have to hack the security system so the turrets don't turn on, and then you have to hack the turret. Unless that's not how that works. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think they did a really good job of, you know, not knowing for sure, but like I feel like there are a bunch of different ways to approach playing the game and that they're all like interesting. You
know, I would really enjoy these game systems in a sort of like an open world Fallout-y kind of thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Right, sure. Rather like because the level design, it's like welcome aboard the USS. Every deck is a fucking maze.
Right.
That's also part of the reason why I've been playing through very slowly because I don't have a good sense of direction and space, and so I've been very cautious about always knowing where I am and not getting lost.
Well, there's the map.
Yeah, but it's not a great map.
It's a pretty good map.
it's good compared to other game maps. But
right? there's a checkbox to turn on a mini map, which is crucial.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the map is the map will show me the shape of the place where I am, but it won't necessarily like if I want to get to a certain room, I don't necessarily know which of the rooms on this map is that room.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I've run into some things where I apparently need to find another chemical storage room because the things I'm researching are starting to require chemicals that aren't in the two that I know about.
Mm.
And I just don't know what the fuck to do. Like I'm kind of floundering at this point. Like there was one point where I had to look at a walkthrough.
You have to research to
Yeah.
To progress in the game. Interesting.
There is this chemical that you're supposed to put into these environmental controllers. She gives you some things in case you don't have the research skill. She's like, I've given you this so that you can learn to research if you can't already do it. Research this so that we can put it into these controllers. And as it stands, I can't put the things into the controllers.
Interesting.
I'm not really sure There, I mean, there might just be some puzzles. I don't remember what it was that I... There was just a whole section of the first level that I had never been to, and I didn't realize that it was unmapped.
Oh, wow.
I forget. It was something off by the chemical storage room. I forget what it was that I was trying to do plot-wise. It also was like, you get those single audio things that are telling you what your next goal is, and there's not any way that I've found to, like... refresh your memory on that.
Yeah, the note section of your PDA will will give you a checklist of things to do.
Section of the PDA. Yeah. That's going to come in real handy. I probably would not have needed to consult a walkthrough.
Did you find all the corn?
I didn't find any of the corn.
Is
there an achievement for getting all four corn?
I don't know if there's an achievement. You can find a variant of Minesweeper that you can play on the PDA.
Yeah. I found the Ultima one also.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It's called Ultimate World or something, and it's just like a little roguelike with Ultima looking graphics.
That's awesome.
I played the Corn Sweeper or whatever, and then when I went back to it just when I was cleaning my inventory, I noticed that you can hack it. And says you need hacking six to hack that thing. I was like, what?
Which I think that what unlocks is all that? I'm sure it unlocks all the games, right? Which is the funny joke or whatever. But that's yet another reason I want to save up all my points so that I can just get hacking
six. To me, I want to play through the story and then I want to just play through it again while using the console to max out my points or something, right?
Is there a console that you can do that with?
I'm sure that there's probably there's some either cheat that or a save editor or something.
So something that the first game did, which I'm not sure if the second game is going to do this or not, I think you're either a cyborg or you're get these gear mod type things in the first game that do some very small, subtle, incremental improvements to the interface that give you just this really awesome sense of progression. Like, you get a mapping upgrade, which starts to show you, enemies on your little mini-map or whatever. And then it will differentiate the types of enemies, and it increases the range of enemies that show up or whatever, or the types of things. There's you get a pretty significant way into the game, you get a headlamp so you can actually see what the fuck is going on in the environment, but it's pretty dim. And then there are multiple levels of brighter and brighter light that you get, which they're just these are not fundamental to playing the game, but
just Benny's,
and they are so satisfying. These aren't the same kind of things as getting to jump higher or whatever, which actually unlocks new areas. These are things just interacting with the world, targeting info. When you click on a dude, at first it just shows you the name of the guy, but then you get to start to see what they're doing, their status, that kind of thing. It was really neat that they built in sort of a progressively better and better way to interact with the world into the game. And it was really a slow progression. You get just these little tiny incremental builds on the stuff that you've gotten, and it was really, really satisfying. There was I think there were 10 slots for cyber upgrades in the first game, and I didn't fill my last one until 90% of the way through the game, which was something that I never really used, but it was a infrared view of the world as opposed to just standard world view.
Those upgrades that you get from those different kind of the blue computer things with the DNA helix on them, the interface seems to be indicating that you can only ever get 4 of those.
Wow. Yeah, it does seem to, yeah.
And I mean, you'd get one per machine that you encounter in the world. I don't have any sense of how long this game is. I did a search for how long is System Shock 2, and it took you, there's some website where it collects, it's like a database that collects people's playthroughs, and it said 14 hours.
Okay.
I don't have any sense of how long I've put into it so far.
When you try to save the game, does it not give you a time?
I never remember. I never let it use the default save game names because I always name the save whatever I'm doing in case I don't remember what
That's a good idea.
I'm supposed to be doing next time I come back. Because I didn't know about the notes thing. Now I do, so I can start doing that, just using the most recent save. I forgot what I was about to say.
How far have you got?
I'm in deck 3 in the hydroponics section. I've started to find some newer, super fucking creepier enemies.
I am just on my way back to the maintenance shaft after having gotten the code to that. And this is kind of funny, actually. I like, on your way back to that, you discover that they've released the maintenance droid or whatever. And I was...
Which I beat with a fucking wrench, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's the best, because if you get up close to me, we won't shoot you.
Yeah, well, that was exactly what happened. I was like, oh shit, a fucking this thing's going to kill me. And I ducked around a corner and stood like next to a pipe so that it wouldn't see me, so that I could have some time to think about what I was going to do with it. And it walked down the hall and turned to face me, such that the pipe was blocking its gun and it couldn't shoot me, and it just stood there. So I beat it with a wrench until it exploded.
I mean, it explodes and hurts you, right?
Yeah. I beat it down to like one hit point, and then I backed away and shot it. But the thing that I'm having a little frustration with is like I'm annoyed that it's harder for me to hit enemies if there's a wall on the left-hand side.
Well, so one of the upgrades is the ability to do an overhand swing. Yeah. It is so fucking stupid looking. I took it once, and then after I saw how dumb looking it was, I was like, I reloaded an earlier save from before I took it. Because you still draw back the weapon to the left, but then you like just pivot your arm straight up like a fucking drum major, and then you just hold it there, and then when you let go, it swings the weapon straight down. So, I mean, that's like just a tactical thing.
That's fascinating, because like that's like a pretty subtle. I've been fighting the zombie worm guys or whatever, and had them hit the ceiling because the ceiling was too low when they tried to attack me.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. Like, there's a lot of like really like this, the game is very skill based in its combat systems.
I frightened myself once by I had the wrench out and like, you know, preloaded. I had the arm drawn back ready to swing because I thought there was somebody nearby. He turned out not to be nearby, so I went ahead and let go of the button, and my guy swung the wrench and hit one of those terminals on the wall next to me, which exploded. I was like, ah! Because I had no idea that those were destructible yet.
There's a lot of destructible environment elements, actually. It's surprising. I'm surprised you guys didn't. I'm fascinated by the fact that we all took different routes.
I mean, Riff and I both took. I figured that it would be funny that we would all take Navy, because we would all take the one that was like hacking and you know, modifying weapons and stuff. And then that's what Riff and I did. But then I just re-rolled. I was like, you know, I don't like this. I'm too squishy. Mm. So, but I mean. I don't tend to play games as I don't tend to play games as a spellcaster,
but
you know,
there's like you like skills, you like making skills when you make games, and there's like
so if this were a game
35
where,
additional skills.
If this was a game where you were one of 5 different kinds of wizards, then that would be awesome. But like, I don't know, in a game where you can either have a sword or be a wizard, I will always want to play through it with a sword to begin with, because it's just. It's just simpler. Like, it doesn't... I don't understand how Psy gets recharged.
It's like hit points. You have to use, like, the injectors to get it back.
Or cigarettes.
Oh, do cigarettes heal
I
it?
Believe they're... I have not tried it yet, because since I'm not using Psy... Because I believe they're just like in Bioshock, where cigarettes are the opposite of alcohol. They deplete your health to recharge your Psy.
That's interesting. I got it... down to, like, drained all the way, and there's no equivalent of the medical beds, which are just like, oh, here's all your hit points back for no money. Like, oh, thanks, medical bed, you are orders of magnitude better than every other thing that does the thing that you do.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
There's a side discipline that lets you effectively duplicate items. And the only item that I'm aware of that they exclude from that is the thing that gives you more Psy power. Because I think they recognized early on that was like an infinite loop. it expends nanites, so it wouldn't have been technically infinite, but it would have been...
You know, what I wish is that I kind of find myself wishing that there are like those portable repair unit things, and I wish that you didn't have to have a repair skill to use those.
Mm.
You know, like I wish those would shore up your specialization choices more.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's a limited number of pistols in the game, and like, yeah, oh, they're all jammed and I didn't put any points into repair. I guess I'm going to use one of my 40 broken shotguns that I can go back to every deck. And shotguns, like broken shotguns, respawn, yeah, infinitely. You know, but
are there no infinitely respawning pistols?
I have not seen any pistols drop from enemies.
I was carrying around a spare pistol for a while, but yeah, eventually I just ran out of space.
I was carrying around a broken energy gun, and then because I was like, I'm not going to do energy weapons. But then when I found that fucking lightsaber, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and find that gun. And then I was like, no, I'm not. I have no fucking idea where I dropped that gun or if it would even still be there.
Yeah,
but then I accidentally found it, and it totally was. Oh, and I'm like, all right, well, this is where I'm dropping all my shit.
Items are incredibly persistent except for the broken shotguns that you get, the spawning broken shotguns. If you drop those despawn. Everything else has been consistent as far as I've found. You can start the game with a laser pistol.
Huh.
If you choose energy weapons as a marine.
That's cool. I don't know how scarce those charging
rechargers
stations
are.
But I mean, I'm assuming that my modify, I didn't see what it did the first time, but I'm assuming that it increased the capacity.
Hmm. Maintenance is also a good one because it'll increase the charging capacity of stuff.
Mm.
So that might be worth taking depending on how serious you are about the energy weapons.
I guess I don't really understand. So maintenance repairs guns and repairs things in the environment? Is that...
I think maintenance repairs guns until they're straight up broken, and then you need repair.
Oh, okay.
Oh, huh. I wasn't really sure how maintenance worked.
I mean, I'm not 100% on that, but I think that's the case. I know you need maintenance to be able to use those maintenance tools to keep your gun from breaking.
So the pistol, you modify it the first time and it doubles the clip capacity, like it makes it so it has 24 ammo, and then the second upgrade decreases the reload time. And like, when the fuck am I ever going to need this again? Like, there's never a time when A, I have very many more than 24 bullets, period, or B, I shoot 24 times in a row without getting a minute to reload. Like, What are you trying to prepare me for, game? Because I think I'm going to need more than this shitty pistol.
Have you guys had any problems with the environment, like actually navigating around and getting stuck in objects and stuff?
I find myself, like,
really,
whenever that happens, it's because I've accidentally gotten onto a ladder that I didn't know was there.
Hmm. Oh, huh. I mean, I've stuck in some places.
Yeah, I mean, I've done some, like, over exploring and gotten myself behind a piece of furniture or something, but
yeah.
I've been able to jump my way out of it.
I thought I had screwed myself in the fucking tutorial, because when you're choosing your class, you know how it's like there's that T junction, or well, I guess it's a four-way junction.
Mm-hmm.
You can jump over the ledge to like a little area underneath the walkways, and I thought, Jesus Christ, do I have to like fucking reload because I'm out of here? But you can actually jump out of there. It's just a pain in the ass.
I keep seeing things that I think are like vent shafts that I can go into, but then you can't actually open them up or go into them. And it's like, I am just trained when I think there's a ventilation shaft. Oh, alternate solution to a puzzle in case I don't have the skill to hack the door open or something.
Right. Yep.
And that just turns out to kind of not be the case.
Turns out your wrench won't break those, unlike every other game.
I wonder if it would be possible to beat the game without ever spending any skill points. I mean, that would be a way to guarantee that you could never get it into an unwinnable state with bad skill choices.
Because you could always just kill everything with a wrench. And...
yeah, like if you always find a key card or a printed code for every plot critical door.
Right. Well, I mean, I think every plot critical door doesn't let you hack it, so I think you have to.
Oh, yeah.
Right, like... Maybe it is. I mean, they said they spent a year and a half balancing the systems.
I have found my way into parts of deck 3 that I later got a key card that would open, but I think that might just mean it, like, you can now get in there through the front door rather than the back door. But
I have enjoyed, in the first game, it was surprisingly nonlinear. You could do a lot of things there were definitely like milestones that like changed the game state and like unlocked different areas, but you had quite a bit of flexibility in like how you got to those milestones.
This seems pretty linear so far.
Yeah, and that was something that I had not noticed yet here, but who knows how long it is. There's a whole second ship, right? Like we're
presumably, yeah.
Are we on the Von Braun or are we on the Rickenbacker?
We're on the Von Braun.
We're on the Von Braun. I mean, the Rickenbacker is pictured as being smaller than the Von Braun, right. So.
Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, I like that the map is, you know, the areas are built inside the outline of a spaceship. Mm-hmm. You know, you on the next deck, you have to go back into the engine and you go out into the nacelles to turn them on or whatever. And it's like, oh, this, I see this is actually shaped like a picture of a spaceship. But like, no one would ever lay out a space like that if it was a space that you were supposed to move around in.
Yeah.
Like, and it is a little bit, I guess I probably get lost more easily because of the lack of discriminating features in the environment, but. Yeah. Well,
I'm enjoying it a lot.
Me too. Yeah. I'm actually stoked to continue playing it and talk about it some more on the next episode rather than just abandon it.
None of us have gotten into cyberspace. Has there been any?
Cyberspace in System Shock 2?
Don't know. It was important in System Shock 1 for sure.
I mean, if there's any cyberspace there, I want to increase it. I wrote a note to myself about how awesome it was that I was given in character creation the opportunity to add some to my cyber affinity, because you put some cyberspace
in. Heck yeah, I like cyber.
Fucking increase it.
I my two notes that I made were that firstly, the way the music starts really pounding when you first get into the first area where enemies actually are.
Yeah.
I thought that music was way too rockin' for what's going on. That was like boss fight music, and I'm just creeping around an empty hallway.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that music triggers at the same time when, like, say, the triggers if there's a monkey that's near enough that it could attack you, even if it's, like, on the other side of a wall and it's actually a mile from you in terms of actual traversal, so...
The other note I made was that I was very amused to imagine my character creeping around this spaceship just with a huge armload of bottles of champagne that he's guzzling down.
Have you ever had any of the monkeys kill themselves?
No.
I think that their health deteriorates every time they use their like crazy psi blast thing. Huh. And if you get in a situation where they're like hitting a wall instead of you, they will just die after like four or five blasts.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, but I mean it's hard because they will often just try to path to you instead. But I've had a couple.
I wonder if there are exactly 150 monkeys on the ship.
Because they mentioned that. Yeah.
Doubt it. I doubt that they did that. But if they did, kudos to them.
All right, well, Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a message for our listener's mail segment that we're theoretically and totally, I mean totally, totally going to do, the check is totally in the mail, bro, next week, how would they send us a question or comment?
I would recommend that they tweet at us, at VGHotDog, or perhaps email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com, or check out our forums, available via link on our website, videogameshotdog.com. They could also send us a question through a review on iTunes, but that would probably be inefficient, but appreciated.
They could do a comment that way, too, as long as the comment was positive.
Honestly, I think even negative comments would help. I don't even know. How does iTunes work? It doesn't make any sense.
Gentlemen, it's been an honor and a privilege to record this episode of Video Games Hot Dog with you.
Yes, indeed, Your Majesty.
Have a great week, everybody.
See ya.
My other car is my co-pilot.